Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network for this Monday, January the 8th. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano and now Steve Polka Dot.
Paintball. Wonder
Paintball,
Bread.
Jordal with
my Wonder Bread shirt.
Yeah, that is that Wonder Bread shirt you'd like to wear right there with the painted splotches.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Steve, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very well. Thank you. Life is good in Mississippi.
All right. All right, Steve, what's your first story?
We have some uprising by students, or, well, not just students, but a whole bunch of people in New York City and in Seattle.
New York City.
They have decided to block the entryways. So pro-Palestinian protesters in New York City simultaneously blocked off the Holland Tunnel, the Brooklyn Bridge, and the Manhattan Bridge. And then in Seattle, they blocked I-5 North, or I-5 in Seattle, sitting down in the middle of the freeway. You've seen the videos of this where protesters sit down in the middle of a roadway and keep people from
They're not helping their cause at all. They're only ticking people off.
And there's been some angry people.
Yeah. They're disrupting people trying to get to the airport a lot.
Right.
Huh? They want to hold a political rally. You can do that different places. It's free speech, in our country to have rallies and protests and so forth. But you can't get out there in the interstate and block people. That people have places to go and things to do, and you're interfering with innocent people. They are innocent people. They're just Americans trying to get around to take care of their daily business. You could even have ambulances.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They need to get to the hospital, and these people are out blocking interstates in the name of the Palestinian cause in Gaza. I just think they're hurting themselves with these kinds of actions.
They have to know. You would think that they have to know that that's not all, you know, people aren't going to go, oh, well, I didn't realize until I couldn't get to my doctor's appointment that.
Right.
But I was talking to Ed before we came on the air. Do you ever, the question's been on my mind forever since I was started looking in and studying World War II, because it's a topic of mine that I love, history topic. How in the world did the German people en masse all of a sudden decide that they were anti-Semitic? How did they countenance putting, 6 million Jews slaughtered in the Holocaust? And they knew it was going on, and they participated in the persecution. How did that happen? How do you get a whole country to do that? Well, I got a little bit better of an idea now that I've seen our country kind of go down a little bit of the same street. The thousands and thousands of these people that have bought into the Palestinian genocide myth, or they just are anti-Semitic. It happens that fast, Ed.
Yeah, in our discussion, one of the conclusions we came to is that some of this is not really happening all that quickly, but we're finding out suddenly. Okay, there's a difference between a movement or a trend happening quickly and people finding out suddenly, because a lot of these are young people who are taking this pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel / anti-Semitic perspective, and they have been taught this stuff on colleges and universities and even in a lot of our public schools. So that has been going on for a while, but we suddenly discover it after October 7th and the terrifying attack on the nation of Israel. In these protests we're talking about in New York City and
Seattle
here, but it's been going on for weeks. What has been, in general, the police response? Do they just let this go on?
Do not. In fact, somebody noted that the police brought, I think it was in Canada, they brought coffee out to the protesters who were blocking the traffic, and they noted that there was a very significant difference in the way they reacted to these protesters than the way they reacted to the trucker protest over the COVID-19 thing where they absconded with the money. But no, for the most part, police are doing nothing.
And let me tie this to the discussion we had last hour about, Tim, you mentioned the immigration crisis now growing up to becoming a top three, climbing the list, becoming a top three issue for a lot of voters. This law and order issue is also growing. Now, I'm just guessing just from talking to people. But this idea that our country is out of control with regards to law and order, I think, is going to make crime and these kinds of protests and the defund the police, all of that stuff gets thrown in the same basket. Mm-hmm. And when people see on the news that they can't get to the airport or they can't get to the hospital or they can't even get to the grocery store because of these protests and the police do nothing, in my opinion, there are certain places you should be able to have a spontaneous protest. Maybe that's at City Hall, but you cannot shut down a thoroughfare. If you want to see how quickly the police would respond, let me just get 1,000 Christians and we're going to block the road and set up a place where we can preach the gospel. The police would fly down there. We'd be, you know, water cannons and arrests. The fact that the police are doing nothing to these people when they block a roadway is shameful. And I'll tell you, if Democratic mayors continue to allow it, this is going to be another issue that climbs that list of importance for voters.
I tell you, Tim, you were talking about how this is not going to help their cause, and I agree with the American people, those that are already on their side are not. But this is what frustrates and is a little scary to me, is that if you step back and look at what has happened since October 7th, a little bit of the same thing that happened since 9/11 with the Arab population, all of a sudden, Palestinian issue is everywhere, and thousands of people are now on, you know, expressing solidarity. I don't mean this to say it was good, but October 7th might have been the best thing that ever happened to terror, to you know, it just, how do you stop that from happening?
I'll never forget Brother Don Wildman, the founder of this ministry, Tim's dad, after 9/11. Mm-hmm. I remember him saying on the air, he said, "Don't misunderstand me. What happened was terrible, this terrorist attack. But for Muslims in the West, it's going to be the best thing that ever happened for their cause."
Yeah.
Because they are going to be seen, because of all the charges of Islamophobia.
Yeah.
He said, Western governments are going to bend over backwards to make them feel at home. And it has spilled out just exactly as he had predicted. Now you've got entire countries in Europe basically held hostage because they have 4 or 5, in France's case, 10% of the population are Muslim immigrants.
Yeah.
They live in terror of them creating an uprising.
Yeah. I don't know I don't know the solution to that. That's scary.
But to your point about the pro-Palestinian protests, because these protests started almost immediately. It was like one weekend in which everyone was saying, "Well, this is terrible what happened to Israel," and then it all changed.
President Trump is on the campaign trail. You may have seen this. He's an important person. He makes things move and shake, and he even rewrites history to his benefit. It's amazing. I wanted you to hear what he said about the primaries at his during his speech. Remember Iowa. This is him taking credit for Iowa. Let's listen to Cut 14.
As you know, by making it first in the nation, I've made Iowa very, very important, and that's the way we're going to keep it.
Mr. President, Iowa's been first in the nation for decades, well before you got into politics.
Well, I looked this up. Iowa was first for Democrats in 1972. It was the first contest for Republicans 4 years later in 1976. So this has been going on for almost 50 years or more.
sometimes with President Trump, I don't know who's in the editing room for this for him.
In his brain, you mean?
Well, I mean, who lets that kind of video go out where he's claiming that he made Iowa the first what did he say? First in the
I made it great by making it
play
the
it,
first.
Play it again. It's 5 seconds.
As you know, by making it first in the nation, I've made Iowa very, very important, and that's the way we're going to keep it.
Yeah,
he's saying that he made Iowa the first primary state or caucus state in the nation, and he did it.
And he made it important. Listen, I'm just going to say, I tend to do that kind of thing too. I've claimed to have invented vanilla ice cream. I mean, I've made those kind of comments before.
It happens.
I have a wife, though, who tells me, no, you didn't. Or, no, you did not remember this anniversary.
You just would
have somebody who's editing me.
But you would think when he's recording this that somebody on the other end of the phone would say, sir, you didn't make Iowa the first.
Well, that sounds like an off-the-cuff comment. So I'm in defense of his staff. I'm guessing his campaign staff. I'm guessing nobody knew he was going to say that.
Well, they get fired.
Well, maybe.
Well,
you never know what's going to come out of
this. Wrong, you get fired.
You never know what's going to come out of this man.
I don't know. That was bizarre. Anyway,
you want to talk about his continuing to disparage our American veterans, et cetera?
Well, this was a story over the weekend. President Trump went to Iowa and gave 2 or 3 speeches, I guess. And you remember the rivalry that he had with the late Senator John McCain, right?
Yep.
Because McCain was he was no fan of Donald Trump, and Donald Trump was no fan of McCain.
Right.
You remember that?
Yeah.
So they had an ongoing rivalry, and in fact, that was then candidate Trump said, about John McCain's service in the military, that Trump said, I don't like soldiers who are captured. I like soldiers who aren't captured. It was a dig at.
Talking about heroes. Yeah.
It was a dig at McCain's prisoner of war status. And so there is a history here, but anyway, you're going to play the clip?
You can.
Listen, as a result of McCain's injuries sustained in the prisoner of war, he couldn't raise his arms above his shoulders, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing him in person one time, fairly close, you know, a few feet away, and his build was you could tell he had something wrong physically, talking about John McCain. And McCain was, so what McCain did was, McCain killed the overturn of Obamacare. Remember that, with the thumbs down?
Right.
And made a lot of Republicans, in particular, angry with that move. McCain was, I voted for him. Did you vote for him?
I did.
Well, yeah, when he ran for president.
Yeah.
He was more of a moderate, sometimes right. liberal Republican. On some things, he was conservative. But anyway, this is what this is what Donald Trump had to say about that situation.
Got 15.
Over the weekend.
We're going to fight for much better health care than Obamacare. Obamacare is a catastrophe. Nobody talks about it. You know, without John McCain, we would have had it done. But John McCain, for some reason, couldn't get his arm up that day. Remember? He goes... That like that. That was the end of that.
So anyway, Senator McCain's daughter, Megan, she took offense to that because she was saying, and a lot of people did, they said Trump is continuing, even though McCain's dead, to make fun of him and the fact that he couldn't raise his arms. So that happened over the weekend. With on the campaign trail with President Trump. Ed, what do you think about that?
Well, and the reference, the bill was, it was called the skinny repeal, if you remember.
Yeah.
It repealed parts of Obamacare, but probably would have ended Obamacare. I think that, and the final vote was 49, for and 51 against. The problem was if McCain had voted yes for the skinny repeal, then I'm trying to recall back there. But listen, you don't – anyone who has served this country, okay, and done so in an honorable manner – like John McCain. Now, I voted for John McCain, but he was a moderate. He was not on board with a lot of our social issues. In fact, when American Family Association back in 2003, 2004 was pleading with the Republican Party and George Bush to pass a federal marriage amendment, John McCain was one of those who said, this is not a federal issue. This is
not necessary.
It's not necessary. It's a state's right. issue. The federal government should be involved. If it ever came up, we would then consider it. He was one of those that tanked the efforts to prevent the legalization of same-sex mm-hmm. marriage. So when it came to our kinds of issues, he was not on board. But I did vote for him because the alternatives were so bad.
You voted for Sarah Palin. Come on.
Well, no, I'm just saying the alternatives right, to John McCain yeah. were so bad that I did vote for him, even though he was too moderate for my taste. However, he was a heroic prisoner of war. No, I do not think it's right to say, well, he shouldn't have got caught. He shouldn't, have, you know, he shouldn't have been captured. It doesn't matter. He was a prisoner of war. And served honorably, and his injuries should not be mocked if that's what the president was doing. And it sounded like that's what he was doing. It sounded like he was mocking the fact that he couldn't raise his hand above his shoulders.
Yeah. Next story, Steve.
All right. Talk about immigration here. I know you guys have been talking a little bit about that, but did you know that the Biden administration has been scaling back the interview process and fast-tracking the release of Chinese illegal immigrants into the United States? This is according to an article in the Daily Caller. They used to have a 40-question screening question about, you know, can you come in? Before they would let them in, they've reduced that to 5, basically opening the door for communist Chinese illegal immigrants to come to the United States. No one's quite sure why they're doing this, but it can't be good. I mean, given the fact that that's probably our number one global foe at this point.
It is, yeah. And, well, you know what? Is it possible that the Chinese government has the material by which they're, you know, holding the Biden administration hostage, you know, with blackmail? I mean, what's behind this kind of thing?
I think they are over here checking on their weather balloons.
That's true. You had a work visa.
So, in other words, the Biden administration, by cutting some of the questions, the majority of the questions, going from 40 to 5 in the interview process, is making it easier for Chinese nationals to come into this country legally. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And by the way, according to the caller, smuggling operations quickly adapted to the new guidelines, coaching Chinese illegal immigrants on how to answer CBP's shorter list of questions.
Yeah, listen, this is when other countries find out you don't mean business on your border, this is what they do. Because Mexico was coaching Mexicans who were coming in illegally on how to circumvent the system. You don't play ball. If you don't play hardball on your border, other countries are going to help people get into the country.
Hey, did you it's changing the subject matter altogether. Did you guys see this Alaska Airlines plane?
They lost a door or something like that?
It's a panel.
A window panel came off of the airplane in mid-flight.
Yeah, I did. I saw that. And now nobody was sucked out of the plane, right?
No.
Although my understanding is a child almost got sucked out. But what if it had hit an engine? It would have taken the whole plane down.
I know, but thank the Lord nobody was hurt. You know, nobody, as you say, was sucked out of the airplane. But it was a new plane.
737 MAX 9. What was the airplane that they grounded? It was another Boeing MAX something MAX. Maybe it was a 7, maybe the same plane. Over a navigation thing, this is several years ago. It's just kind of ringing bells in the back of my mind.
You know, J.J. Jasper used to have a joke about how, think about it, we're getting on airplanes that are built by people with who was the lowest bidder.
Oh, yes, that's true. That's true. We need a new fleet of Boeing of planes.
Right.
Yeah, and so whoever can do it for the cheapest amount. I hadn't thought about that.
Anyway, this happened on a, I don't know where the flight was going from where to where, but anyway, it was Alaska Airlines, but that won't be good for their PR department.
You gotta think
the FAA has grounded more than 170 Boeing 737 MAX 9s after this section of the Alaska Airlines.
You think maybe another airline should advertise? Maybe Delta or United, just say, listen, one thing we guarantee is you won't be sucked out of our plane.
One of our planes.
You may not be happy that the 300-pound fellow is sitting right beside you, but I guarantee you, one thing, you're not going to be sucked out of our planes.
That's right.
Huh? Yeah,
In fact, we wedge our passengers in so tight, even if a panel does blow off, you can't be sucked out.
However, you can remedy that. If you just go ahead and have a month worth of really big meals, they're giving away free seats now to large passengers.
What?
You haven't heard this?
No.
Yeah. Several airlines, or at least one, is if for oversized passengers,
yeah.
You buy one seat and they will give you enough so that you don't inconvenience other passengers.
Well.
Hey, that's why I always try to get that front seat if you can.
Yeah.
Because, the one where there's nobody sitting in front of you?
Yes, are you talking about right behind first class?
Row one?
Yep, right, yeah, right there.
Or the one where you have to promise to, to rip out the door, exit
row. Yes, where the flight attendant comes back and asks the six of you, are you willing to, huh?
Have you ever been, I've been on planes where I can clearly see the six people that are being asked that question.
Yes.
Are you willing and able to pull this?
Right.
And I'm you look and you see a little, bless her heart, a little 5 foot tall lady who's skinny as a rail. And I'm thinking, lady, don't tell me you think you can pull that door off. You can't.
Right.
But
so
yeah,
this is.
Yeah, they do ask you, are you willing to.
Are you? And they say, are you able?
Yeah.
And I go, come on, lady. She's not able. We can all see it.
Southwest Airlines is the airlines with this new customer of size policy, and it is allowing travelers to take up more than one seat to have the additional spaces for free.
Wow, yeah. For free?
Yeah.
You mean they're just giving away a second seat?
That's right.
You request
because they probably would get sued.
Well,
there's a
that's
video
not
here
gonna...
that I'm watching on how to. Take advantage of it. I haven't watched it, but
the airline seats are one of those situations where one size doesn't fit all.
No, and we've all been in the situation where you're looking up the aisle,
right?
And you're saying, "No, please, no, not here."
Oh,
all right,
man.
I'm going to get myself in trouble.
Yeah,
that's it.
All right, let's stop right there.
And I'm not skinny mini myself, but I can fit in my seat.
You see. So somebody's looked at you coming down the aisle. Is that what you're saying? Saying, oh, no.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Ed.
All right.
Thanks to Fred and Brent Creeley, our producer. And thank you for listening today, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Keep listening to AFR.